I want to see if we can take a look at a few pieces over here from the Gemara and Sefer Yisrael Torah and Parshas Yisrael. I mean, Yisrael is Mola Begodesh Yisrael Torah. It's hard not to find Yisrael Torah in Parshas Yisrael. It's hard to pick out. He has, I think, about over 50, 60 pages of Parshas Yisrael. So I have two pieces that I'd like to look at, really different points. So let's start with page 3 of the packet. Page 428, page 437, page Kufman Bays. Mm-hmm. And if you're not confused by the numeration, that's I can't, you know. It's like quantum mathematics, you know. It's like three different, you know. So this is a piece from the Drushas Aran, and he says something which at first glance is counterintuitive. At second glance, his point is that what you think is intuitive is unintuitive. Okay. Ve'elo shtei mitzvos ein teva ha'seichel nesanes. Right. So the first two mitzvos of anochi, which means that there's a yichud b'chodesh Baruch Hu, and you're not allowed to serve anything else, and lo yilucho, which is the loisaseh of that, are not logical. The Rama says those are logical, right? The Rama points out that the question which we grapple with is like the mitzvahs which are given in the Seder Hadibros. Man has been living for over 2,000 years on the face of the earth, and now God is coming to reveal Himself and speaking directly to man. So what would we assume he's going to teach us at that moment? Like, what messages would he come to tell us? We already were given the mitzvah. Adam Rishon was given a mitzvah of Isra Vetzicha, Isra Geneva, Isra Veshazish. These were given already. These are things which we understand, Seichel to some extent. The world's not going to function with Ritzicha, the world's not going to function with Geneva, the world's going to function with people and other people's wives. Right? False Eidus. Even Shua Sheker, that you know, we there was a concept of Shua existed already. We have a Ravino swearing to Avimelech. You know, we have the idea of Shua existed already. Obviously, the purpose of Shua is because people took it seriously; they didn't lie. So, you know, the guy comes and says, "You know about Yibichirish? Don't kill." Like, we knew that already. So what's happening over here? That the mitzvahs which were given, for the most part, seem to be things which we can figure out ourselves. So if the purpose is of the revelation is to reveal Torah, it seems to be like it was an unused opportunity. Mm-hmm. Right? If that's the purpose. If there's a different purpose, so then maybe it was used correctly. So the question, so what is the purpose? So from that angle, if I tell you that Anochi is a logical mitzvah, and Lo Yilucho is a logical mitzvah, and Lo Sisa is a logical mitzvah, it comes to be a logical mitzvah, and Loisirtzach, and Loisinov, and Loisignov, and Loisinov, and Loisinov. So the whole two which are not so obvious as Shabbos, which is that it should be a day that we should be made the rational credit of the world, which assuming that we were believers, they weren't becoming believers at that moment. They were believers in the rational credit of the world. That wasn't the purpose, right? To make them believers. They were wondering, does God exist? Does not exist? We were created, not created. They knew that already. That wasn't the issue. That there should be a day to commemorate that also is logical. L'sachmoid, okay, maybe, you know, it's the Kiddush and L'sachmoid, right? So 1 out of 10 ain't bad, right? No. But let's not tell you, Anochi and L'Yiluch are not logical. Is it logical that we cannot serve anything else? So, well, it depends how you define L'Yiluch. What else are we thinking of deserve? So the Ron said a fascinating idea. By a person looking into this with Iyun, we could come up with the exact opposites. Vahu. We could have said, Shanaksha Benarmer, Imloi he Shahirilana Tara, Shashemarumo Mikoma Sena in Yunenu. Mishalila loy Shahu Yasim Liba the Tsabu Seno Hazirenu. Kamashakosha Philosophim Panov Kol Binyanam Hara. Meheri Yonotek Vyakar. Vav and Avim, Alpish Shigodu Shemitosu Shaltaver Kain,
Tomo Lov, Vamruman, and Kisiskarenu. That the Rebbe Shalom should be interested in a man is illogical. Like, it's like, I don't walk around taking interest into microorganisms.
There's, the ant.
The ant marshal, right? It's just not on my radar screen. So the Russian was interested in man is illogical. That he should be so interested that he should give us commands what to do, what to do, not to do. He should care whether they do them or not do them. That we should talk to him. The whole thing is illogical. Right? So our seichel would not have told us that, that you can't have these other intermediaries, etc. The logic is that we should not, the logic would have been in our minds, we should not talk to God directly. You don't go straight to the king. I want to come. I'm here to see the king. I said, excuse me, sir. There's an order of operations over here, right? You speak to the guy by the gate, and if he's, you know, he thinks it's something of value, well, he'll take you up to the next level, and then we'll see. You know, maybe one day you'll get an audience with the king after like 5 years, you know? And we go straight to the king 3 times a day, and as many as you want. I mean, you can talk to many times a day. You're just like lying in bed. God, please make sure I wake up on time tomorrow morning. Like, you know? Like he really cares if I wake up on time tomorrow. Like, you know? The point is a fascinating point. So the philosopher is built on that. It's true. The Russian was not interested in man. Right. And therefore, this whole idea of mitzvahs is not logical. It's not true. The Nevi'im obviously knew that it is true. They still asked, Manish Ki Sis Karenu. Right? What is man that you should look at him? He judges us like he cares. We're not for the fact that Bresham revealed us in the Torah that's not so. The Bresham is so exalted that there's no way that he could be commanding us anything. There's no concept of serving him because he's so beyond us that we're irrelevant. Okay? The fish im kain. Now, and I'll take it a step further. Okay? Besides the distance, we know Kadosh Baruch Hu is a reality which exists independent of man. That, in a certain sense, almost makes it illogical that what we do makes a difference. Because if there's no impact on what we're doing, because Russia remains totally the same whether we do it or not, so why should he care? Okay. The fish im kein namin shu gispal mitzad maaseinu. He tolos v'kesher banu. By saying that we have to be over him, what we're saying that the Bershom is affected by whether we are over him or not. And that's not true. Our Rosh Hanavad, Kechom, and Mazol, is Mitzah Sheyesh Lehem, Lona Kesher Imahem. But these things which play a role, they understood the role, how they played in bringing down Hashpoah to the world. So that's where we should put our focus. Menachshah calls it Ladas Amiti Gomer. We believe that this is the truth. As a matter of fact, that's greater honor to Hashem to believe that he's beyond us and he's uninterested than to say the Russian was interested in it's almost like cheapening him and bringing him down to our level. The Russian, God cares that we said a bracha would come on or not. Like he's insulted. Mekana Hashem. Like the whole, you're almost insulting him, as it were, by saying that the mitzvahs make a difference. And it's COVID the other way. You'll be exhausted from talking to the guy. The guy who thinks that God cares. Like, you know, he's such a simpleton that, like, you know, it'd be waste your time to talk to him. So that's why we had to hear them directly from God. Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't be the intermediary for these two mitzvahs. Because it's not going to work. We need to hear this directly from God. I'm interested in you. And that's why the Mor says that all the mitzvahs except for everything else, Moshe Rabbeinu was the intermediary. He was a shliach. But for the first two, the Russian said directly to us himself. Okay? Well, Derek Marshall, an example of this concept would be the following. Shim ish echad gam ki yemisari melech apartim him akrevim elov. One of the highest appointed officers of the country He tells us to do something which we feel Lada dictates it's an insult to the king. We shouldn't trust him. It doesn't sound right. He's telling me to do something which is an insult to the king. I'm sorry, I can't listen to you for that. But you're the most trusted advisor. I don't know. Good question, but I'm not comfortable listening to you because it's an insult to the king. We'll answer him. I'm sorry, we're not going to listen to you. If the king says it, I got to do it. But until then, I can't do this. I can't do something which I believe is insulting to the king. I have no problem believing you everything else that he says, which is not an insult to the king. But this idea that it should be something insulting to the king, I should listen to that. I can't trust him. I'm not going to be comfortable with it. Moshe Rabbeinu cannot be the vehicle to tell us to do something which seemingly is an insult to Kadosh Baruch Hu. This is the exact same thing by these two mitzvahs. This is what the Rambam said in the Sefer Mishnah. It's almost the opposite. The Rambam writes, Shapirish, Anach le'yil l'chol b'pirik v'rishmanu, Loimer sh'shnei yashroshim ha'ele, Rotsa loimer, Metzias Hashem v'yirsa echod, these two concepts, the Rishman exists and he's only one. Amam Yusuf b'yun ha'inushi, we can figure that out ourselves. V'chol ma'ashi yivoda b'moifis, so there's no mile of hearing it from Moshe Rabbeinu because I only need a novi to give me something which I can't figure out. But something which I can figure myself, I don't need to hear from the novi. So there's no reason to give it through Moshe Rabbeinu. The Russian could have said it straight because we'll figure it out ourselves. That's why Moshe Rama goes the exact opposite direction of what the Ran is saying. Well, the Ran is saying he's going the opposite direction of the Ram. He says the reason why the Russian said those two is because in the world of Mishpatim, to some extent, I don't really need a Navi. Okay? Shadibris, Tehaim, Mikaz, Hamur, Fasamas, and Makabolas, Lomikad, and Muskolas. The Rambam says that the other mitzvahs are along the lines of the things which are Makabolas. We need to receive them through a Makabolah. We're not going to figure them out. They're not Muskolas. We're not going to obviously understand them ourselves. So that. There's a mila of going to as opposed to the Rambam is focusing not so much on the Rosh talking as opposed to us being equal to Moshe. Can I be equal to Moshe Rabbeinu? So the answer is yes and no. Something which is obviously like to say it's obvious to any individual logically, Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't understand it better than me. Because it's totally compelling logically. So from that vantage point, there's no Milo Moshe Rabbeinu saying, well, he doesn't know anything about it more than me. But something which I cannot figure out on my own logic, I have to get it from a Kabbalah, so having the smartest person in the world, we don't want to say it, or the closest one to Kadosh Baruch Hu want to say it, is a Milo. Because he gets it better than me, and he can then pass it on to me and explain it, etc. But to explain to me that, you know, you should know, God came and told me that there's something called day and night. I don't need God to say I can feel it myself. I don't need Moshe Rabbeinu to tell me there's day and night. Right? So, as it were, there was no need for even the simpleton can accept such a concept. So, that's what the Rambam says. The Rambam is looking at more at the end of the receiver. He's saying that the first two minutes, we were equal to Moshe. Don't shout to equal to Moshe. We all heard it together, because any person could really get it. We didn't need a major revelation for that. And the Ran is saying, no, Adarabba. The reason why the first two are said directly with Kadosh Baruch Hu is you need a major revelation for that. Everything else is going to build on that. Once we are convinced that Kadosh Baruch Hu was interested in our mitzvahs, so now Moshe Rabbeinu can be the shit to give us the mitzvahs. But until I make that foundation, it's not shaykh. The Rambam's words and my words are two total opposites. Now, The Rambam, the first mitzvah is to believe in that Hashem exists. He disagrees with that whole thing. He's not commanding it. He's saying it's a fact. There's no reason to command it. The main problem of the Avodah Zarah was that they have an intermediary. So it wasn't Hashem, it wasn't one, is that they're intermediaries. So that's the problem. We're removing that mistake by commanding Hashem as one. Like, that's not the point. Okay. So that's the approach of the Ran. I think they're fascinating. It's a very compelling thought process that we needed Rishus to have a relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. And we needed to hear that from him directly because nobody else could, we can't really trust anybody else in that respect. We wouldn't be able to. We wouldn't be allowed to. Like, I can't, my cover for the Melech is machayev me not to listen to the officer, to the minister, when he says the king wants you to go right now and do something which is insulting to him. So the whole idea of relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu was insulting. So over there, some things are logical, some things are not logical, some things are insulting, some things are not insulting. Over here, everything is insulting. By definition, everything is insulting. So the Kodesh Baruch Hu says to him. Yeah?
So how do you listen to a Navi at all then?
According to Ran.
Right.
Well, the, now that you have that the Rosham told us directly that he wants a relationship and he does care about what we do.
Right.
So now when he sends a shliach to tell me what to do, I trust him.
You trust a shliach, though.
You're correct.
He said
that. The Ran's point is the Moshel and Nimshel are not perfect. But the case of the Moshel, the king, right, for argument's sake, there are we'd say that, let's say there's 100 things that we've heard the king wants us to do or not do, you know, 50 positive, 50 negative, I don't care what number you make it, right? In the kingdom. Most of them are going to be logical, but the king wants that.
Right.
Then there's this new thing, he comes and says, you know, he wants us to do something, and every time you walk by the statue of the king, he's supposed to spit at it.
Ah.
Right? I'm sorry. And who told me? The highest minister in the country told me that. So I don't believe it. The king said that. I can't. I'm not allowed to insult the king's statue based on the Ran says the same idea that Moshe Rabbeinu should come and tell me the Rosham said that we should serve him. If I accept the premise that the idea of serving Kodesh Baruch Hu is betzim insulting. Because the idea that the amoeba should walk around and give praise to Eli Reingold, that the answer can praise Eli Reingold, it's not a covenant, it's an insult.
Right.
I mean, what you're saying is that I care about what ants do. The ant is saying to me, you know, either the ant has a big bagaiva, or he has no respect for me. Right? That's what so the merchant comes and tells me, you know, do this and do that. The merchant cares what I do. The merchant doesn't care what I do. He does care. He's so lowly, he's willing to be, you know, worry about what I do. That's insulting. So, whereas by the king, 90% of the mitzvahs that he commands are logical to me. Over here, not one is logical. Nothing is logical. Everything is an insult.
I see.
Because anything with the Russian clerics, I said, listen, I'm telling you, I do care about what you do. It is important to me, and I do want a relationship with you. Okay, now. Now that that's established, nothing's an insult.
Okay.
So now the Navi can tell me what X, Y, and Z, you know, the Moshe Rabbeinu, the Navi, etc. Okay. That's one thought. It's a compelling thought, it's a logical thought. It's not how you usually approach it. And that's why it's just like it's a beautiful way to open up the, you know, we spoke about it in the idea of davening to Kodesh Baruch Hu. Is a tremendous expression of his chesed to us that he wants to hear from us. Because really, like, why should he care about what we do, hear from? that shows his love. So what really is happening over here is that the Baruch Hashem is saying, yes, it is totally beneath me, but I care about you so much that I do want this relationship. So it's a statement of love. Let's go back to the first page. So he brings a Gemara in Chagiga. And this is also, I think, the Ran.
Yeah.
Right, they're both different drush. So the article translated now, the drush is a Ran. The Ran, we have from the Ran, we have 12, 14 drushes. They're numbered 1 through 12, if I recall correctly, but there's like two. The drushes, like he gave the same drush in different words at different times. It's basically the same ideas. So they put that separately. So they translated, I think, 1 through 5 in the volume 1 of the Artur has put out now the drushes of Ram. So the drushes of Ram is like he went through a lot of major concepts in Yesodus in these, you know, memoriam that he gave, the drushes that he gave. It's a major Ashkafa saver, so Baruch Hashem. But this happens to be, this one is in Drush Shvi. Another one we just saw is in Drush Tishi. Tarshul doesn't have it available yet. A year from now, maybe you won't need me anymore. But then, but for now, you're still stuck with me. Okay.
Who's going to give us Rav Hirsch?
Rav Hirsch is available in English. You don't need me for Rav Hirsch. Right?
In German, like English.
Okay. Drush is around. Vomra oid. So there's more chagiga. Balei asupas elo tamin chachamim sheyoshim asupas. They sit together as groups. Vayisim matarim. Based on the pasuk in Kehelas, halol matamim halol matarim, halol poysim halol machshirim, halol oysim halol matirim. They're always arguing, right? Shem matarim halol halol matamim halol hechani loymed tarmiyata. If they're arguing, so the one who's right is the Torah. The one who's wrong is not the Torah. So how am I supposed to learn Torah if I don't know which one is right? The pasuk continues. It says they're all given from one raya. Kulam parnas echad omrim epi odin kolamasim baruchu. So Moshe Rabbeinu presented everything from the words of Kadosh Baruch Hu. Okay. It says shenamar vayidrael kim is called rimayla leimor. Doshemilas kol lermer shafilo divrei mi shaloy higiel emes kol nitan besinai. So the mice, the psak is tomei. The guy said Torah. He said Torah. Mice, the psak is tomei. It was also given me Sinai. So what does that mean? The Rosh Hashanah gave me Sinai, the tzad, not the other tzad. So what does that mean? What is this Gemara saying? Right. Now, the Gemara doesn't mean to say you have a person who's not knowledgeable at all and he has no background in how to learn. He comes, well, I think the Gemara means this or the halacha is it. You know, like, that wasn't like in Manasina. That's just this guy's making up, you know, they call it a book story, you know. Right? To me, it seems right. Okay. And science, you wouldn't even accept that. So why should I accept that on Torah? Right? Because I can't believe a God would say that. Okay, so you have a problem with the moon. Right, for sure he meant this. Okay, you know, you have a direct line to God. That's good. Chazal say nowadays that the Nebuah belongs to women, Shaitim, and Ketanim. So pick your choice which one you want to be. Nowadays you get a choice, two out of the three you can choose. So what's your shot? What do you mean the Baruch Hashem heard both sides? Okay, Moshe heard both sides. For example, Mishnah says that Shammai and Hillel had an argument. Shammai and Hillel themselves had four arguments only. Whatever else they agreed on. There's four places in the Torah where they disagreed. One of them was already. They show smicha on a behema on Yom Tov, which is already an argument of Shmai Vavtalion. It was already the Zugos already were having this argument already from the beginning of, almost the beginning of Baruch Sheni. But they added three more machlokos. So one of the machlokos was how much of a mixture of dough do you need to create to be chayiv the mitzvah of chala? So shami armer mikav chala, hil armer mikabayim. Okay, so kav says you have one kav's worth of flour, and you make it, and you add water, you chayiv on chala. The hil says no, it has to be two kav. Now we actually pass in like neither of them. Okay. It's 5/4, so it's a little more than Shammai, a little less than Hillel. Now, L'chara, Be'emes, Shrechem Mishneh Deus, Hudeya Amitis, V'Sheni Hepcha, one is right, one is wrong. V'Echem Rishyotzim, P'i Hashem, Dabar Bilti Amiti. What does it mean the Rishyotzim said both? Rishyotzim, listen, you know, could be a Chayiv this way, could be a Chayiv that way, you know, whatever, it's not so important to have it precise, you know. Doesn't sound right. Avinyan Kena, what does it mean like this? He says by the luchas, everything is on it. The more says in the context of Mikra Megillah that Moshe Rabbeinu was shown by Kodesh Baruch Hu everything which is going to be developed, including Mikra Megillah. So the Gemara says that which they're trying to clarify the points. So the lashon of the dakius of the very very fine points that they were discussing. It doesn't mean lashon of diktuk of grammar. The Rishon showed everything to Moshe. So what does that mean? The Rishon everything to Moshe. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, listen, you know, there's going to be a story like this, a story like that. Sheet like this, sheet like that. Like, Moshe Rabbeinu was shown it. And if Moshe Rabbeinu was given the decision already, so then why should we respect the guy later on who picks the wrong side? And why is it important that Moshe Rabbeinu should be shown this thing anyway? Now, he says like this, B'loi achra. Moshe Rabbeinu was given all of the possibilities without a final decision. He was given a way to decide. He was given mitzvah of the Torah, which tell us that we follow the words of the Chachamim. The Chachamim decide things based on Rav. They were given klalim how to decide. They can decide. They were given the ability to decide. He said, "Basel kahenim alavim, ala shevet asher yebiyamim behem." You go to your leader in that generation. Chen l'saser, reshenitan reshus achachma yadaris achriyam b'machloikas achamim kfiin erlehem. They have a right to decide. Amiyu aktumim mehem gedolim mehem rabim mehem. Even the early generations might have been greater. If a bezin makes a takana, later bezin can't rescind it unless they're greater.
Right.
But if a bezin, early bezin, presents two possibilities, the later generation can decide. Matter of fact, even if the early generation makes a decision in psak, right, later bezin can decide otherwise. They can't be a vatal takana of earlier bezin. If they're arguing pshat and posik, and they came to achra, the roiv said that Pshat A is right. The next generation, the Chachamim, can come along and say, we hope Pshat B is right, if they wanted to. And we follow the Chachamim whether they were right, quote unquote, right or wrong. The more specific story with Rabbi Eliezer and the machlokes with the Chachamim. Kabbin Rav Metzia, Amar Rav Yeshua Raglav, Amar Loi B'Shemayim Hi. So he said, it's not up to God anymore. So they have this machlokes, and Rav Yeshua says, you know, if I'm right, so the Am Samayim Yechiyach, let the brook prove it. So the Mor says that the brook started running the other direction. Okay? He said, you know, can't be right from brooks. If I'm right, so... What was the third case was he said, I'm right to let the Kesef Beis Medrash Yechiyach, let the walls prove it. So the wall started caving in on the Chachamim. So Rabbi Shua got up and says, excuse me, you have no right to get involved in our fight. Please, walls, go back to where you came from. Right? So the Mor says that the walls didn't go back because it was covered with Eliezer, didn't go back. They didn't fall because of the covenant of Yeshua, and they stayed like, you know, like this. Then Eliezer says, I'm right, I've got a Bas call from Shemaim. Bas call comes not from Shemaim. What do you want from Eliezer? He's always right. So Yeshua says, Lebe Shemaim. Send up to God. Send in the heavens. Okay. What does it mean? Karnitna Lemoisha al Harsinai because of my Akram Lahatis. And he wrote, Kulam Shir Eliezer Maskim al Emes Yesimim. Because he saw kulam amitim soikim achriyum in the shemayim mitzvah. He had good rayas. He had these clearly extraordinary things happening to prove that he's right. Also, ma'isa came out has come. They didn't budge. Shavshu siklam noitel latame. Mishal yoydim shame as kivim hevim in emes. The rest of the tar. Rebbeleza said Torah. They said tame. It's a tough look. It's tame. What do you mean it's tame? It can't be tame. It has to be Torah. But our responsibility is to paskin based on we understand what the Torah is saying. That's our responsibility. And if they would be matayer, they'd be over divrei Torah. Kimin shiklam noita latame. Shachru al nipsu l'chachmei adaris arashe eskimu heim hu asher tzivo hu Hashem. So I'm going to put a lot of words into the Ran. Maybe it's right, maybe it's wrong. There's Ramchal. Ramchal in his introduction to Sefer, the Rizal, we have a Sefer in the Rizal called Eitz Chaim. That's the primary Sefer we have from the Kisei Rizal. It's written by Reb Chaim Vital, who things that he heard from the Rizal. The Rizal didn't write it. Reb Chaim Vital wrote it. It's called Kisei Rizal. So the Ramchal wrote a Sefer Derech Eitz Chaim, which is introduction to Eitz Chaim. So before you learn Eitz Chaim, you should learn Derech Eitz Chaim. That's, you know, that's the tree, and this is the road to the tree, right? You know, right? Very nice, you know. So one of the many sermons that the Ramchal wrote was Derech Eitz Chaim. So a lot of it is, you know, some of it is Kabbalistic. Obviously, it's introduction to Eitz Chaim of the Rizal. But over there, he says a fascinating thing. The way he understands what happens when you learn and you don't understand a piece of Gemara. So you don't understand something in Torah. He says that the Rishonim, step back a step. I had a conversation once with a guy who wasn't from yet. He's from now, Baruch Hashem. And he argued that man has an intuition and a logical grasp of right and wrong. Because you see that many things in the Torah, you know, man can figure out himself.
That's a
sign. So, you know, I should just trust my intuition, right and wrong, etc. So I said, let's start from the vantage point of the belief in creation. So God made man like that. God did not have to make man like that. God can make man any way he wants. So Hashem made man that we logically intuit the concept of the Torah. So Ramchal says, yes, because if there's a mitzvah to learn Torah, it would be very stupid to give us a mind which doesn't understand Torah. Right? The most logical thing the Russian is going to do is he says, listen, I want you to take this instrument and apply it to this. So let's make them so different that they don't fit at all together. They don't have no connection. So the Bereshit made our minds that it understands Torah. So what happens when we're not understanding something? So he says, there's a klipa which is preventing understanding. Right? There's the concept in Kabbalah that there's this blockage which prevents it. Okay, without getting involved in the details. He says, and what happens when you work through the sugya? You have your, they call it the Havanya, right? You push yourself to understand it. He says, what you're really doing is breaking the blockage which exists in between, and then the natural state of being of the mind understanding will come into play. So through tefillah, you daven, the Rosh Hashanah should help you understand And through the working, you break through this blockage. But then the natural state is that this and this connect because they're made to fit together. Now, obviously, you know, the child is born, he has a brain, but he needs training. Right? So, yes, when he's trained how to use his mind, he'll say, wow, it wasn't there intrinsically in the mind. It was all just, no, the mind can follow certain patterns and do certain things. That's part of the training of what a mind is supposed to do. Again, I live in a world where the Russian created the world, and he set up the world like that. So yes, I need to have my mind trained to think logically. If I live in a society where everybody does things which are illogical, I'm not going to understand the Torah.
Right.
So, but the Chachamim who took upon themselves to train to understand the words of the Torah, the Baruch Hashem made their minds part of the vehicle in the Sinas HaTorah. So the Sinas HaTorah isn't a one-time event in the sense that the Baruch Hashem gave the words. The Baruch Hashem gave the words, and our job is to continue to receive those words again and again and again through all the generations. So we sat down and we used the mind the Baruch Hashem gave me, as he told me to do, to work to understand what the Torah is saying. That is exactly what the Russian wants me to do. Now, three generations back, they came up with a different result. That's what the Russian wanted them to do. So there's this vort in the Torah, which we only the Meshech Chochma figured it out. So what's Pshat? It wasn't supposed to be in his gala, and given that message of the Torah wasn't supposed to be given over to the early generations. This generation needed that message. An old generation would not understand the message, would misuse the message. Right? So the Baruch Hashem has, he's, so the Ramban says that the reason why the Sanhedrin sat next to the Mishkan, because the Mishkan represents Matan Torah, because there's a lot of parallels between the Mishkan and the Matan Torah, and the Sanhedrin is an ongoing reality. The Sanhedrin, which is going to be the ones who are going to interpret the words of the Torah and give it over to Klal Yisrael, need to be by Har Sinai. So the Sanhedrin had to be placed next to the Mishkan. It's Ramban in the beginning, Hakdama to Parshas Mishpatim. So the Barsham, for whatever reason, right? There's a Ramban, and I mentioned this Ramban in Melchamas Hashem. It's been just recently, like last year or so. The Ramban says that the Galus of Torah, that there's no Mefis Chaytech. There's no final proof. The Galus of Torah is indicated by the fact that there's no final proof. Like you have a Gemara, you know, and you have a Rishon that touches the Gemara, and everybody accuses them, and all of them comes along the Shach and says, it's not Pshat in the Gemara, because he had a Raya like that. Well, you know, for 300 years, we assume that's the Pshat, but the Shach chopped it, there's another stage. Then 20 years later comes, you know, the Pnei Yeshua says, Shach, you must later come, you know. We keep going again and again and again. You're regurgitating the same thing again and again. Like, make up your mind already. Just get a final proof. Right? So godless, there's no final proof. So why is that godless? In science, the godless is that you could come to the final reality, the clarity, right? Right. The guy says, you know, I think it might mean this, but it might mean that. Well, so, okay, which one is it? Do it. Figure out an experiment and prove it. Okay, we failed an experiment and we proved it. Yeah, but you know, you never know. Maybe one day we'll figure out. Like, well, so your experiment wasn't a good experiment. Find an experiment which is foolproof. Right. But over here, there's thing is foolproof. The only thing is chacham proof, better, right? There's foolproof. There's not chacham proof, right? What's the pshat? So the way I understand this Ramban is Torah is alive. It adapts and addresses different situations. And the Baruch Hashem gave a document, gave a body of knowledge which will address every single situation which will come up. And the, how is that going to happen? If he just made it as something which is static, it's not going to work. The Rosh made it something which it's the Chachamim are an integral part of the Sinas HaTorah. Because they're the ones going to be on the ground in that generation, 30 generations hence after Mount Torah, who are going to say, okay, now the message of the Torah for this generation is X. And now 40 generations later, you know, another 10 generations later, the message of that same Pasuk is Y. Because that's the message that needs to be given that. So Torah B'davka is something which, because it's something which is adaptable to every situation, it cannot be finalized. Because there's always something more that could be there for the next situation. But it lends itself to machlokes. Therefore, there's going to be different people who have different minds and different ways of seeing things. We'll see different messages there. That's all part of the greatness of the Torah, that it could talk to every single person. Right? The scientists, I need to, a certain sense, to everybody has to look at it one way, and that's it. And you find once in a while what happens in the world of science, there's this like outlier type of a scientist who says, let's look at it from a brand new perspective, and he sees a whole thing everybody else missed. Right? Well, that's what we do in the Torah all the time. So science, as much as what Newtonian physics, and I'm not more governed in any of this stuff, right? But you know, but like everybody assumed. I mean, Newton was, you know, it was a genius, and the ideas he developed were phenomenal, the clarity, etc. But there's certain things didn't fit. So the answer is we'd have to find an answer to the question how it doesn't fit. So sometimes I'll say, one second, let's re-look at the certain elements, which that's not the way you're supposed to understand it. So all of a sudden, the moifes chaitich of science is not, it's a straitjacket. It's a mila, it's also chasar. So Ramban says, Torah does not have that. Torah is so big that it can address everything. It's because it's not a straight, it doesn't have a straitjacket. So Yeshua says, we learned the Torah as you told me to do. We did everything you're supposed to do. And we came up with that the psak is Tomei. So that's the psak. That's what you told us to do. And we are passing Torah. We're going against what the Torah told us to do, what you told us to do. And the merchant said that what they found the Leo and they asked him, what did he say? And he said, it's Kuni Bonai. My children have beat me. In other words, the fortune said, I mean, it was a test. Are you going to cave? Or are you going to recognize that you know, and you would have caved, you're doing an Aveira. That's not, the Tzivya Torah is to use, obviously you have to be trained right. Right? The guy, you know, if you're assuming that you're trained right, and you did your due diligence, this was the message you were supposed to get. And that, and you have to, if you don't trust that, we're up the creek. So Bershon gave me this document, which is adaptable to everything. But how do we know that the guy who's interpreting it knows what he's doing? Well, maybe I got it right, maybe I got it wrong. So what am I supposed to do then? How can I ever trust anything? So the answer is no. Assuming he meets the criteria he meets it of that person who has the right to do this, what he comes up with is what God wanted him to come up with, by definition. Because if that wouldn't be the answer, I can never trust any chacham anything he says. I have to listen. I hear what you're saying, but I need to know myself personally, because maybe there's another one in the pasuk. How do you got the right shot? Well, I have checked up all the criteria of meeting the criteria of being a person who has a body of people or a person who has a right to interpret Torah. I'm the Tana, Rabbi Yeshua. I've done my due diligence, whatever that's supposed to mean. So now we, as the Chacham of the door, came up with this is what the Pasuk means. That's what it means. Well, Shemaiah says it means differently. It's irrelevant. Because if it's relevant, it's not that one story is no good. The whole foundation of everything falls apart. You don't see what I'm saying?
Yeah. I do, but I have a little problem with it.
I don't blame you. I also do. So what do you do when the rabbi's wrong?
Well, what do you do when the rabbi disagrees with another modern rabbi? Suppose I put two rabbis. They disagree.
According to
so you trust who?
He's wrong according
to you. I got Rabbi A says it's kosher, and B says it's treif.
So,
is it kosher or treif? I mean, should I not eat it? Should I eat it? Maybe I'm missing out by not eating it.
So that's, you definitely are. But it's a very good question, and that's why I prefaced. We need to say that we've. You know, the concept he's dealing with over here is clearly talking about people who have checked off the boxes.
Right. They have credentials.
They have the credentials. Now, how do I know nowadays who that person is? Who those people are? Or are those such people? You know, and yes, we live in a generation where there's machloikas. Now, Bisman Chazal, they had a final hachra. We don't live in a world with this final hachra. Bizman Chazal, there was a Sanhedrin still. Sanhedrin had a right to go to count and make a decision. And that's a binding decision now. We don't have that reality in our but nowadays. So how does this concept transfer to nowadays? It's a good question. But conceptually, the other option is worse. That's what I'm saying. Right. Because then I can't trust either rabbi. Because what do you mean credentials? There's no thing as credentials. Right? If the Torah means A, the fact that your mind says that it means A is irrelevant, because human beings have the right to decide what God means. So you think that you use the only vehicle that you have to figure it out, which is your mind. And your mind has no right to figure out what God meant. So then what's supposed to happen now? So clearly, the Rosh Hashanah is relying on the fact that our minds will come up with the right answer. Now, what do you do when you have two different answers? It's a good question. It doesn't undermine the premise of what he's saying.
But even then, Hillel and Shammai were the same generation, and they were both considered to be
right.
What it means is both of them were valid ways of looking at the pasuk, and all that was included. Now, there's
not to be applied to today. I'm saying even though there was Achra, still we treated Ehillah and Shammai both as being.
So the question is credentials. So they once asked Moshe Feinstein, he granted an interview to some interviewer for some secular newspaper. And they're trying to understand this phenomenon called Moshe Feinstein. That's clearly everybody had tremendous deference to him. People argued with him at different times. The trend is deference to him. So he's like the chief rabbi. So who elected him? that was the question.
I believe that. I think I heard this.
What?
I heard this.
Because in the secular mind, how does this work?
Right.
So he said, somebody asked me a question, and I wrote a response, and I explained, and people read it, and they liked it. I did a second time. People read it, and they liked it. And eventually, got to the point where people like what I'm writing, so that's why people listen to me. Right? There was a merchant in his response. You know, if it would be me responding, not Ramosha, right? It's not just it's that idea, but that's just the tip of the iceberg. The greatest intelligent people of the generation in Torah have read through his works time and time and again, and they see the compelling argument that he reads the Torah right. So that's why we trust him, that he's pulling out the real message. Why do we trust him more than Rabbi X? Right? It's a fair question. I think I told you the line from Putner about the Urtzim Forshei Talmud. I told you that. Urtzim Forshei Talmud came out. It's a phenomenal work. They took all of these works, which are some of them are obscure and not available, etc., and they synthesized this, you know, amalgamated into this work of on each piece of Gemara, all the questions which have been discussed over 1,000 different Svarim, and what the answers are. And they sort of like, you know, try and condense it, you know, these six Svarim all ask the same, fairly similar question, and they give answers A, B, and C. So, Rav Huttner said about it. Now, Rav Huttner was put up in Mechon Yerushalayim. Rav Huttner was the Nesi HaKovet. He was honorary president of Mechon Yerushalayim. But that didn't prevent him from saying what was on his mind, because that was a Huttner. So Huttner said the following. He said, when you first make wine, after you crush it, you put it in the barrel, it's not clear. There's all this, you know, sediment which is suspended in it. Over a period of time, the sediment goes to the bottom, you have this nice clear wine on top. Somebody comes and he stirs up the bottom, stirs up the thing, and all the sediment rises up to the top again. He says, there's thousands of sermons that have been written. And there's tremendous Yerucham which have been learning Torah for generations. At a certain point in time, certain swarms fell to the bottom. And certain swarms didn't. The generation of the generation of the greatest in Talmud Chum are learning the Ksois. Generation of the generation. Why? Because we recognize that the Ksois has something which is really right over here. And say for Nachla's barrel, nobody's learning. You know why? Because it's not available. Because it's obscure. No, because nobody wants to learn Nachla's barrel because it's not right. You know. Because in his generation, people looked at it and said, nisht. Then he's like, let's try it again. Bite the nisht. Because now they came and they went into the barrel and they went and stood it all up and put the Nachla's barrel together with the Ksois. That's what he said about it. It's a good mushroom.
Right.
The point is obviously that, well, what do you do if the only saver who asked the question was Nachas Barrel? Okay. So Baruch Hashem, Nachas Barrel asked the question. He gave an answer. You can decide yourself whether you like it or not. But, you know, to put it on the same footing as the Ksois and the Rikveger and the Nesibis, the Pnei Yeshua, and Nachas Shmerel and Barrel, that was what he said. It's so insightful. It's Torah Huttner. But there's a reason why certain Svarim, there's people who are spending hours and days and years and of their life looking at these things again and again and again. Not one, not two, but hundreds and hundreds and hundreds. And they're all saying this sefer is on the pedestal because they really see that there's a tremendous power of understanding over here. That's compelling. And I'm not talking about, people are... And we, where we learn, we say, oh, he said it, therefore it must be right. Well, that's not how we learn. We fight, we argue, we challenge. And not dull people either. Some pretty smart people out there doing this, right? Recently, somebody asked me a question about what my opinion about Tchelis is. So I said, I never really went through the Sugya of Tchelis. My Rebbeim didn't do Tchelis, and I never went through the Sugya of Tchelis. That's where I'm at right now. So shortly after, he put a kuntras on my shtender about tchelis. Because he believes in tchelis, and he wants me to believe in tchelis. He wants me to pass it. So I said to him afterwards, I says, if you want me to really pass about tchelis, I need two kuntras. One which says why tchelis is right, one which says it's wrong. Then I can go through, and I can weigh the arguments, and I can make a decision. But reading a kuntras says, I'm right, because A, B, and C is not what I'm going to need to hear. But maybe there's another argument. I need to weigh it myself and see the tut started. Right? So now, if that kuntras is written by somebody that I have tremendous awe and respect from, okay, so I might, accept it even though I don't see all the other side. But it's not an average guy, some hechadesi, that I should feel his argument is compelling. Okay, I'm in a position of that I decide halachic issues within a small contingency. So I'm taking this authority in a very, very small way. Right? The Marsha Feinstein was taking it for a larger contingent. And he was taking this authority further. Now, what do you do with somebody argue? The Tzitzel Yezer says, Rasat Marav said that Marsha was wrong on this psalm. He also has the right to say that. So now what do you do? That's a harder question. So how do you know what to follow? Right? So Hillel's saying this and Shammai is saying that. So what do we do? Right, this question is not a question, right? So the Mor says that the argument of smicha on the korban on Yom Tov. The Mor says that argument lasted for all five generations of the Zugas. It's like Yisven Yehaz and Yosh Yisraida Yisven Yechel and Yisrael Shalaim. They argued about it. Shimon Shotach and Tarbeli. They argued about it. So you had the two greatest leaders of the generation arguing, and the Mor said they cannot come to a final decision. So what do we do? So I come to Beis HaMikdash and I bring my carpet. There's a mitzvah in the Torah to do smicha. Right? So it's a mitzvah to do it. If you hold a tassel, you don't have to do it. I'm not allowed to do it. See that I'm mechuyev to do it, or it's aser. It's like, you know, well, you know, just be machmer. There's no machmer over here. So what do we do in the ma'isa? The Mor never says what we did in the ma'isa. No. It's a fascinating question. So what do you do? So that's where we have this concept of, if you know, within a small area, you had one. Usually, you had one rav, and you had a bezdin, you had an av bezdin, and that what the community was expected to follow that psak. The Mor says, "Adarav, it was usur to have multiple arguments within one bezdin. That's the issur of lo shisgadu. We don't want this disagreement." Which is why the Mefarshim explained that the idea of Achram al-Hatos means that if we don't put a system of making a decision, we're going to end up with multiple Torahs, right? So now what do you do if, you know, we live in a society which is, you know, this is like, one of my animals' pet peeves is they should be calling people rabbis who didn't have smicha. My animal was adamant. So you have a person who's a Rebbe in yeshiva, he's been teaching yeshiva for 10 years, he never took the smicha with him. Reb, not rabbi. Right? He says, because if you haven't been authorized, you shouldn't be passing halacha. As soon as you put your name rabbi in front of your name, people can ask you halacha shaylos. Right? And you shouldn't be answering because you don't have the credentials. Right? The argument goes back. He says, you know, he said the tells they were makbet on that. Now, my days and tells they were not makbet on that, because we live in a society where Rabbi Sally is Rabbi Sally, and I've been learning for 10, 15 years in Carlisle. I'm Reb. Who are you? I'm Mr. Reingold. But she's Rabbi Sally. Like, so in our society, you know, so we go to the hospital to visit. You know, she gets clergy discount, and I don't. So as soon as you got married during the kollel, when those days was about age 24, 25, you've been sitting and learning post high school for 8 years, you got the title rabbi. Harav needed smicha. So it's already, you know, it's different now. No, not budging. It says that if you're really worried about it, that I have a problem the other way. So what's the smicha machina nowadays? Smicha in Europe was on all the Shulchan Aruch.
Oh, really?
Smicha machina nowadays is on 40 simonim. Chabad Chaim has a bigger Sricha Bechina. Chabad Chaim Yeshiva has a Sricha Bechina, which is about 90 Simonim. There's 1,800 Simonim in Shulchan Aruch.
Wow.
Okay, so now I'm a rabbi. So a person was telling me, oh, I hear you got Smicha. I have a question for you on Hilchos Shabbos. I never learned Hilchos Shabbos. I have a question on Hilchos Yom Tov. I never learned that either. What about Hilchos Avelos? Didn't touch that one either. So why you as a program, they give you a smattering of everything. I've listened to the shiur. They're very nice, but you know, you can't pass them, you know, from that. You know, it gives you a background. Well, you know, so the Rav Andrew said, but once people have a title rabbi, you're embarrassed to say you don't know. Well, right, I agree with that. So what's supposed to happen with the guy who does have the title? Right, deservedly so. He also is embarrassed not to say no. He doesn't know he's talking about Hilchos Shabbos. So I said, we haven't solved the problem. Maybe you watered it down a little bit, but you haven't solved the problem. Rebbe Sarasim Zatzal never had smicha. He gave the Yerodei Bechinas and tells.
Really?
Smicha means you took a test on it. He never took a test on it. He learned everything because it's part of Torah. What part of Torah did he not learn? He knew everything. The man was an absolute ilui. Out of all of the Rishivas, he was the biggest ilui, Rebbe. He knew everything, and when he was in the mood of telling you why you were wrong, he would throw all the cultural cool at you. Start bring you the most obscure svar, you know, Madrash Chazal, you know, it's says not like you, you know. There's a mechilta to the Rishim Yechai says like da, da, da. And like, you know, he wanted to throw everything, he'd throw everything at you, like, you know. But he never got smicha, but he couldn't pass Mashiach because he didn't get smicha. Yes, there was a takana that a person never authorized shouldn't pass Mashiach. That takana existed. Okay, it's about 400 years old. Because before that, what happened? A guy would come to the community and says, I'm a rabbi, I'm passing Mashiach. Who said he was? Who's going to test him? The Amor is going to test him. You know, it was good business, you know. So they made a takana that you can't pass him without smicha. But it's a takana. It's not intrinsic to the concept. But it is a way to somewhat say that you have credentials. The credentials aren't by smicha. That's very weak credentials. Because
it's too easy to get smicha.
It's too easy to get smicha. You know, nowadays, you know, I mean, it's not easy. It's hard work.
It's too small of what you need.
But the credentials are what Ramosha said. You start dealing with issue, and again and again and again, you seem to be hitting on the mark. That's credentials. You know, but you're right. But is it credential to the point that nobody can argue? Of course not. People argue Ramosha all the time. So what do you do otherwise? So in general, the Mahalik, which is given, if you have a Rav, he's your conduit for you to find out what the right thing is. Now, if you have no Rav, it's very challenging. Nowadays, you have Google. You know?
Yeah.
You're doing pretty good, the Google. It's okay.